This is BBC Radio 4, and now Nicholas Parsons bids you...
Welcome to Just a Minute. Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world. And also to welcome to the programme four exciting, dynamic personalities who are going to prove their ability with words and language as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and as they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And they are seated on my right, Paul Merton and Alan Cochrane, and seated on my left, Giles Brandreth and Susan Kalman. Please welcome all four of them. Beside me sits Hayley Sterling, who's going to help me with a score, and she'll blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And Giles, we'd like you to begin the show, and we've got a lovely subject here, frozen peas. Tell us something about frozen peas in this game, starting now.
I believe the father of frozen peas is one Clarence Birdseye, who, as I recall, in about the year 1930, having been a taxidermist and also a naturalist, decided that he would be able to freeze...
Susan, you challenged.
Without being harsh, there was a slight hesitation there regarding the...
It was a definite hesitation.
Yes.
So, Susan, you've got in with 44 seconds to go.
I always forget after challenging you, then have to carry on. I was just pleased about the challenge, I'll be very honest.
44 seconds available. Frozen peas starting now.
Frozen peas have many uses. For example, you can put them into cooking. I make a lovely pasta dish which involves frozen peas. They're also incredibly important to have within your house at any time in case of injury. For example, my wife was running...
Alan Challenge.
Mm-hmm. I think there was a repetition of for example.
Oh, was there?
Yes.
You'll never know what happened to my wife running up the stairs now.
So, Alan, the correct challenge, 27 seconds are still available. Frozen peas is a subject starting now.
Extremely useful for first aid, frozen peas. You can pop them onto a bruise or a scab. Perhaps not that, actually. It wouldn't help there. But...
invaluable advice, but hesitation, I think.
Yeah, but it was deviation, wasn't it? Putting it on a scab.
Well, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Turns out I'm not a doctor.
You're an enthusiastic amateur.
Yeah.
Paul, a correct challenge. Yeah. You have a point. Your first point. 17 seconds available. Frozen peas starting now.
Captain Oates turned to the rest of them and said, "I'm going out now. I may be some time." As the snow swirled around the tent, Scott realised he'd seen the last of his fellow Englishmen. The frozen Arctic or Antarctic, I never know which one it was, they were coming in and...
I don't think they had frozen peas on Scott's expedition to the South Pole.
All over the place, though, wasn't it?
Anyway, Paul, you were speaking as the whistle went, and so you gained an extra point for doing so. You're in the lead. And Susan, we'd like you to begin the next round, and the subject is bookkeeping. Try and talk on the subject if you can, starting now.
I am not very good at bookkeeping. In fact, I am banned from doing any form of accountancy in my household. My wife, who was injured whilst running up the stairs recently, is the one who is in charge of such matters. It's because I cannot count. I have never been able to arithmetise.
Giles, a challenge.
Hesitation.
Yeah.
Well, yes, it was a struggle for words, which we interpret as hesitation. Bookkeeping is a subject, Giles. 41 seconds available, starting now.
Bookkeeping is one of those beautiful words that contains a double O, followed by a K, and then another one of those, and then a repetition of the letter E. I would like to volunteer my services as the bookkeeper to Susan on my right here. I think she needs me at her home to help her wife up those stairs, and then possibly to push her down again, because I want Susan.
Oh. Susan, you challenge.
A number of reasons. I think safety is, I think the police being called at this point would say, no, it's
I mean,
not right.
Pushing you down again is rather devious.
And just having him helping my wife run up the stairs, it's just all going wrong, Nicholas. I think it's... I think, yes.
I think you've gone far enough to get a point down.
Thank
I wouldn't
you
go
very
on
much. Thank
anymore.
You.
A point to you for a correct challenge. 18 seconds are still available, starting now.
The problem that I have with regards to bookkeeping is I find it extremely difficult to keep the numbers in the right order. I have actually got a problem with such matters.
Alan, yeah. Challenge.
Repetition of problem.
Yes,
yes.
Problem is a problem.
Right,
is a problem.
You're absolutely
another
right.
Point to you, Alan, for a correct challenge. 7 seconds are available, and you start now.
A joke I am possibly considering for my forthcoming Edinburgh Festival show is I bought a second-hand book on bookkeeping.
Oh. Are you going to use it in all?
Well, they're all going to have to buy tickets to hear the punchline now, aren't they?
Right. Anyway, at the end of that round, you were speaking as the whistle went. You gained an extra point, and you've taken the lead. Only 1 point ahead of all the others. Alan, it's your turn to begin. The subject is... splitting the bill. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Splitting the bill is only ever a fun experience in Chinese restaurants when you've ordered crispy duck. Other than that, it is particularly depressing when people say, oh, what about Steve? He didn't have a starter, but he did have a dessert. What about Susan, who enjoyed...
Paul, challenge.
A repetition of what about?
Mm-hmm. What about, yes.
Yes.
So a correct challenge, Paul. Another point. 42 seconds available. Splitting the bill, starting now.
So as I looked around the restaurant, I realised that at least four of my dinner companions were actually secret Nazi spies. The war had been going very badly. I knew that submarines out in the harbour were busily waiting for my signal. I would flash my cutlery through the window, SOS's messages. SOS's.
Jars, it's
a repetition of S.
Yes, yes.
Well, I didn't actually repeat S, I said S's. So it was deviation.
Well, yes, it was all devious, but it doesn't matter.
It certainly was.
I think the SOS did actually come out, Paul.
It did, yeah.
Yes. And Giles, you've got him with 23 seconds to go on splitting the bill, starting now.
When they started splitting the bill, that's when I stopped watching. I want one episode a week, not a double bill of it. And with they did that with Dixon of Dot Green, I wouldn't have tuned in. Midsummer Murders, occasionally they do split the bill with that, but it's unsatisfactory. You want an evening that gives you the whole drama on the same night. Splitting the bill is the end of...
Oh, this is great. They're all equal in together in the lead at the end of the round. And, Paul, we're back with you to begin. Oh, a lovely subject. The old bullen bush. Tell us something about that in this game. There's nothing particularly funny in it.
I'll bear that in mind when I start. Right.
It's a lovely pun, it's a lovely song.
Yes.
And you've got 60 seconds if you want it, Paul, starting now.
I remember the good old days television programme on British Broadcasting Medium, and it was wonderful to hear the theme tune every week. I will sing it for you now. Come, and then after that it's a bit of a repeat, so I can't go any further. But the old Bull and Bosch was a pub that was linked with the English music hall back in the 19th century. I think it was the noted comedian Charles Fitzgibbons who first said about the Bull and Bush, I am a fictional made-up character, so therefore cannot really offer an opinion. And this was an extraordinary moment to hear this great man who up to a moment ago didn't exist.
Charles.
Repetition of moment.
Yes, there were too many moments there, yes.
Yes.
23 seconds are still available, Giles. You've got another point. And you've got the old bull and bush if you want it. Well, you've got it. Starting now.
I think the woman who first sang down at the old bull and bush was Florrie Ford, known as the Australian Mary Lloyd, a big girl who liked to play principal boy in pantomime. And when going to the ball would suddenly announce, yes, I'm on my way to meet Prince Charming, but via the old bull and bush, and would then break into her famous number that she took around the world, an international...
Yes, and those like a bit of history, it's still there. We used to live quite near it, actually. It's a lovely, got a lot of history attached to it. I don't think you could care less, because you haven't reacted. So, Giles, you've got another point for Speaker's whistle went, and you've increased your position. You're just ahead of the other three, and it's also your turn to begin. And, it's another sort of a British subject, London subject, the sound of Bow Bells. Can you tell us something about the sound of Bow Bells starting now?
We have all heard of Beau Nash and Beau Brummel, but I have to say...
I haven't.
Thank you, Paul. You have now.
You have now.
He's mentioned them. I heard him mention them.
You just heard it, yeah.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you have or you haven't, actually, Alan.
Oh, but he said we all had, and I just felt like I might have been the exception that proved the rule.
As an ex-lawyer, I very much enjoy the definition of deviation on the show. It's really quite it's a fluid court. I'm enjoying it immensely.
It is fluid, Alan.
Yes. Was that deviation? The fact that you said everyone knows? Because I didn't know as well. I don't know if that helps.
Because once I've said everyone knows, everyone certainly does know, because
right.
I've just said it.
Susan, it's fluid, so one can interpret as we like have fun.
No, it's very sorry, it's the lawyer in me. I mean, everyone's heard, not everyone knows. That's the definition. But you're saying everyone knows, they don't know they've heard. I'm just... Take me out of the game.
Yes, it was the lawyer in you. That was lawyer speak.
It was lawyer speak, and I apologise.
We may hear Nicholas refer to the benefit of the doubt in a moment.
Oh, good.
No, but not on that.
Oh. Okay.
So, Giles, you've still got the sound of Bow Bells. 55 seconds available, starting now.
Bow Bells is indeed less well-known than the other two that I referred to. Of course, his costume was different. He had these beautiful tinkling bells at his sleeve. He would dance down Regent Street with a slightly affected manner, and people would say, "Oh, I love the sound of Bow Bells as he approaches us." Turning into the Strand, he would come along, perfumed, pomaded, thinking to himself, "I am Bow..."
Oh. Alan, your challenge.
I think he's already been himself, hasn't he? I think that was repetition of himself.
Oh, yes. Speaking to himself.
Nobody sounds convinced.
We were so carried away with his performance because it was so animated, I should tell our listeners, that I don't think anybody was, but Alan.
Well, luckily, I remain totally unmoved and just listen to his words.
The game.
You were concentrating.
Absolutely.
Play
the game, not the man.
I'm like a sniper.
Yeah. You,
this is something you said before, Giles. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah. Oh.
And you get a point for that. And there are 28 seconds on the sound of Bow Bells starting now.
The sound of Bow Bells is very difficult to hear for the sound of people playing the spoons and shouting, "Riggy Diggy! All right, Tony! Let's have an apple and pear, the old China governor! You want me pardoned?" And other things that Cockneys are fond of uttering. That is what the sound of Bow Bells would have to carry across if it could, which it can't.
Giles' challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation. I'm not surprised.
Following a crude. I mean, really, Cockneys listening will have been turning off.
Radio 4's poor audience.
Here, do it, turn up you and yours, will you? Catching in me eyes, I say, "Oh, mate. Is that the brain of Britain? Give us a bit of a whistle, will you?"
Giles, you've got him with 4 seconds to go. The sound of Bow Bells starting now.
The joy of the churches in the City of London is that you can hear the sound of Bow Bells on all the other...
So Giles is leaping forward. He's got many points. He's taken the lead ahead of the other three. And Susan, it's your turn to begin. Napoleon. Oh, we get around, don't we? Tell us something about Napoleon in this game, starting now.
I've always felt a great affinity towards Napoleon due to his height issues. I am 4'11", sometimes shorter than that in cold weather. And I have often felt that the Napoleon complex is something which my family and I all have, which is the anger that people feel when tall others pat them on the head, as people do. I have been... Yeah.
I was just going to say, you're doing really well.
So what's your challenge when the rules are just a minute?
Oh, well, it did seem like there was a bit of hesitation.
And... Oh, it was just a cattle, because I'm short.
No, she didn't hesitate at all.
Oh, OK.
I didn't hear her hesitate.
We're repetition, all go, then.
We're all...
Deviation? Quite, I'll quite, just
no, I'm going to pat you on the head, Susan, and say... it was an incorrect challenge, and you have 35 seconds still available. Napoleon, starting now.
Other things that have happened due to my Napoleon issues, I was...
Giles challenged.
A repetition of issues.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, you did say that
height
before.
Height issues, yes.
Gosh, you're yes. all very much on it this evening, aren't you?
Yeah, they've played it a few times
have
before.
Have they? Yes. I thought this was the first episode. I thought everyone was doing very well. Apart from me.
30 seconds for you, Giles, on Napoleon starting now.
This is the 200th anniversary of the Battle of Waterloo, and at the party marking this anniversary, Susan and I played Napoleon and Josephine as a cross-dressing experiment.
Susan, you challenged.
OK.
Repetition.
Yes, repetition of... I think it was anniversary. Yes, it was anniversary. Ooh, just yes. right at the very beginning of it. You said anniversary twice, although I was enjoying where it was going.
Yeah. And you have the subject back. 19 seconds. Napoleon starting now.
He was a fellow of slightly immature stature, but he was also a fantastic warrior, I think. To be honest, I know little of Napoleon, apart from the fact he had a complex. I'm much more attuned to...
Alan challenge. Yeah.
I think that's a repetition of complex, yeah. isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. So, Alan, another correct challenge to you. 6 seconds available. Napoleon starting now.
Famously, Napoleon used a Napoleon pocket where he would keep his oyster card and various other symbols.
So at the end of the round, Giles is still in the lead. Alan's now catching up as follow him in, and then it's Susan Kalman and Paul in that order. And Alan, it's with you to begin. How to light a fire? Strange subject, but an interesting one. 60 seconds are available, starting now.
I have never felt particularly manly, but one of the times I felt least so in my life was when a man who had left a fire ready to be lit in a tent that I was hiring had then to be phone called by...
Giles challenge.
Hesitation.
There was a hesitation, yes.
Yeah.
So, Giles...
Did you have to ring him to ask him how to light the fire?
Yeah. That's where it was leading. I think I just felt awash with shame as I was retelling it.
46 seconds, Giles, are available. How to light a fire, starting now.
Some people will have heard of the film The Stud, based on a novel by Jackie Collins, in which her sister Joan starred. What not a lot of people realise is that I was slated...
Paul Charles.
A repetition of people.
Mm. Yes. Oh. So, too many people.
Before we get into one of his anecdotes about how he was the body double for The Stud. Some ludicrous made-up piece of nonsense.
Kettle.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Paul, correct challenge, so 36 seconds are still available. How to light a fire, starting now.
Fire lighters.
Your challenge?
Yeah, he'd stopped.
Well, he got his laugh and he thought, well, why carry on?
Yeah.
And you've got in there, we interpret that as hesitation, of course, how to light a fire. 34 seconds are starting now.
Some gas fires, you can push in the dial, turn it, keep it pressed, and wait for 30, 29, 28, 20...
Giles challenge.
Repetition of 20.
Yeah, there's too many 20s there.
Surely it's a different word.
It is a different word.
27 is a different word from 28.
No, they're hyphenated, but they're still...
They're hyphenated?
You're still treating...
Oh, yeah. I've been writing it wrong all these years. I'm so sorry. Sorry, everyone, sorry.
But you did repeat 20.
Yeah, so it would seem.
26 seconds, Giles. How to light a fire, starting now.
In 1978, I was in my prime when I met Paul Merton's mother. She said, "You light my fire. You truly do. There's something extraordinary about you. The whole family has been in denial ever since."
How dare you! My mother would never have looked at a conservative.
So, Paul, you challenged 4 times.
Yes.
So what is your challenge when the rules are just...
I don't know. Deviation.
Yes, it's impossible. He knew never met his mother.
Met her?
No.
Met her?
Now you come to mention mention it. There was a really horrible jumper you used to get out occasionally and cry into. Put it back in the airing cupboard.
Paul, the benefit of the doubt, 17 seconds. How to light a fire, starting now.
Nicholas ran in and said to all the other cavemen, I've discovered the secret of fire. All you've got to do is get a hold of some twigs and start rubbing them together and the friction creates a flame. Isn't it extraordinary that the stuff that powers the sun is also the same material that we can create on the earth to keep us warm at night, to make sure...
So at the end of that round, Paul got some points. He's moved forward. He's now in third place, just ahead of Susan, and 1 point behind Alan. Giles is still in the lead. And, Paul, we're back with you to begin. And the subject is a scenic route. Tell us something about a scenic route, starting now.
A scenic route is always rather pleasant if you have plenty of time on your hands. If we look at some of the fantastic rail links that exist between Scotland and England, there are some wonderful scenic vistas as the tracks cross across...
Giles.
A bit of hesitation.
Absolutely. So a scenic route is with you, Giles, and there are 45 seconds available starting now.
It was in August that I decided to visit the Welsh Riviera to enjoy the scenic route. I had not anticipated the hailstones, and they made viewing the scene a little bit difficult. We arrived at Aberystwyth, and all I could visualise through the mist was the sign indicating where the bed and breakfast was. I moved on to Llandudno on my scenic route, and there had the pick of the shelters. I was seated in one of them when along came a fellow traveller, a relative, I believe, of Paul's, who said, oh, I remember you from the old days when you knew his mum. I said, I'm on a scenic route now. I can't talk about that experience. I'm looking out to sea and loving the view, the waves rising over the rocks.
So George Randruth was again speaking as the whistle wind, gained the extra point and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And Susan, it's your turn to begin. The subject now, the Albert Hall. Tell us something about that edifice in this game, starting now.
First of all, I'd like to say how grateful I am that on Just a Minute, all of the topics I have covered are English in some way. There is an Albert Hall in Scotland, in Stirling, as it happens. It was named after a different Albert who worked in the train company and was called Bertel. Albert... I genuinely know nothing about the Albert Hall.
Giles, you've challenged.
Can I say that I don't wish to challenge? I know she hesitated, but she's talking correctly. Because you said the Albert Hall. And the Albert Hall that you're thinking of in London is actually the Royal Albert Hall.
I know.
Oh,
the
yes.
Albert Hall that they gave you yes. is the Scottish Albert Hall. So that though I've interrupted, you were actually absolutely on the money, and I want to salute you for that.
Do you know, the problem is there is no Albert Hall in Stirling. I just made that up.
That's enough of that. Hesitation and deviation. Hesitation, deviation. I think the subject's mine. Thank you. I see now the way you're going to play this.
As we're in the penultimate round, I think we should be generous and say, Susan, you've got the Albert Hall. You still have the subject of the Albert Hall, and there are 39 seconds starting now.
I have been to the Albert Hall in London, in all honesty. I went to see Victoria Wood, the comedian, play there. My main memory of going to that particular venue is how ginormous it was to me as a tiny Napoleon-type person. I could see the performer on the stage from far away, looking like a thimble, and I enjoyed the acoustics of the occasion. I've also seen John Barrowman play at the Albert Hall. A curious choice, you might think, but I find his eccentric accent something glorious to behold as a Scottish person.
So, Susan Cowman, starting with the subject, and in spite of interruptions, finished with the subject, gained that extra point for doing so. She's still in fourth place, but she's a very, very good fourth place because she's only 2 points behind Paul Merton and Alan Cochrane, and they're a few points behind Giles Brandreth as we move into the final round. Thank you. I had to wait for it, but thank you. And, Alan, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is My Worst Habit, starting now.
My worst habit is very difficult to define. It may be hesitation, deviation, or repetition, or it could be the fact that I constantly scatter my socks upon the floor in the marital bedroom, which is a very difficult thing for my ever-patient wife to accept. However, it may also be the fact that I occasionally have been known to pick my nose and eat it. But I'm not certain if that is, in fact, my worst habit.
No, don't tell us anymore.
No, I quite agree with Paul, actually. Yes. What's the situation? It's not going to make any difference to the result, is it?
Giles is in the lead, so...
Shall we give you the benefit of the doubt, Alan, and say you carry on? My worst habit, 30 seconds starting now.
Flirting with Giles Brandreth ranks above the idea of picking the vestibule that I was discussing earlier.
Paul challenged.
Repetition of picking.
Yeah, that's right. So you've got in anyway, Paul, so that's fair play. And you have my worst habit, and you have 22 seconds starting now.
I dress up as Janice. I walk the streets of Paris lonely at night, my eyes casting glances at the boats as they travel past. My heart thinks of the days when I walked the left bank with Nicholas.
Oh, you're walking. Giles, you're challenged.
Repetition of walking.
Oh, yes, too much walking, absolutely.
Yes, you've done a bit too much walking. Nice and heels. Giles, you've got it with 9 seconds to go on my worst habit starting now.
I have become a Twitter obsessive, and undoubtedly my worst habit is when I go to the loo at about 2 a.m, I inevitably on the way back...
Yes, Susan, you challenged.
It was hesitation.
It was indeed. So, Susan, you've got in with 0.5 seconds to go. My worst habit starting now.
My...
So, Susan was attempting to speak as the whistle went and gained that extra point for doing so. And we give you the final situation. Oh, what a fair one. Alan Cochrane, Susan Cullman and Paul Merton are all equal in second place, and they are 3 or 4 points behind Giles Brandreth, who's the lead, and therefore we say the winner this week. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. And it only remains for me to say thank you to these 4 fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Alan Cochrane, Susan Cullman and Giles Brandreth. I thank Hayley Sterling, who's helped me with the score, blown her whistle with such style when the 60 seconds elapsed. And we're deeply indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we're grateful to Victoria Lloyd, who is our producer. And we're grateful to this lovely audience here in the Radio Theatre, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. So from me, from the team, and from the audience, goodbye, thank you. Tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute.
That was the last in the current series.